the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28. We will again endeavor to pick up where we left off in our study of the life of David. I must confess, as we go through some of these verses here, and you will hear me repeat this tonight, that some of these passages are difficult. We looked at some things last week, and as I've been studying, and as I've been reading, and as I've been preparing, I have found that there's a bunch of different ideas and views from people that have good understanding of the Word of God. People that are men of God that have been trusted throughout the ages. There's some differing views here. But we understand, and as we go through this and as we study, we'll see that God is faithful to use His Word to teach His people. And I thank God that as we study and as we dig, even through tough passages, we learn and God teaches us. So let's begin here in verse 12 tonight, where we left off. And the Bible says, "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul?" Let's pray. Father, we do ask that You help us tonight as we study Your Word. God, You'd grant us grace. Help us to examine ourselves, to see ourselves in light of Your Word. God, that we wouldn't compare ourselves with ourselves, but we would see the standard. And God, that You would use Your Word tonight as a rule, as a guide, that God, we could look to, that we can examine ourselves to see if we're right with You. We ask for grace, we ask for mercy in Christ's name. Amen. Here we have the account where somehow or another, I can't fully explain, but somehow or another, Samuel shows up, or the apparition of Samuel shows up before this lady. And when he did, our text says that she did what? She screamed or cried out with a loud voice. Some commentators note that Samuel appeared before this lady, even performed her art of supposedly conjuring up him from the dead. And as I studied this passage, I found out that some scholars now, I'm telling you, as I was reading, and I'm going to give y'all, I give y'all some of these views I come across, not to confuse us, but that we can see that there's some differing views here to understand some of these passages are difficult. And as I begin to study this, I come across some scholars that suggest all of this was just a hoax. Now, I told y'all last week and the week before last, as we studied some of these things, that I know without a doubt that the art that this lady claimed to practice or the abilities that she claimed to have, first and foremost, we said, was what? Demonic. And I also believe they were what? Based solely upon deception. She used these things as a way of deceiving those that come to her for the sole purpose of doing what? Generating income. And they would bank on it. That's what happens. I'm not saying that there was some demonic powers. We've got to understand one thing, and I think we touched on this last week. Satan's not all-knowing, is he? He's not all-powerful. So he's limited. So are his demons are limited. And so are these people that are possessed by these demons are limited. So there's some things we said last week, and I don't want to rehearse everything we said, but I have a hard time believing that this lady had the ability that she claimed she had. She said, "Who do you want me to call up?" As if I have the power, or saying that she had the sovereign ability to call forth from the dead anybody that she wants. I don't think she had that ability. We see nowhere in Scripture where Satan has that ability. And if he did have that ability, he would probably use it more often, but we don't see where that's anywhere. Some of these scholars that I've read behind believed all this was a hoax. And they believe that this lady probably, more than likely, never really saw anyone, that she was making this up the whole time. Now, I personally don't believe that. They believe that she suspected. Now, listen, follow with me here. That she suspected. Now remember whenever Saul first comes, this visitor first comes. She said, remember what Saul had done. I can't do this for you. She was putting out a fleece, if you will, as a means of protecting her own self, saying, no, don't you realize that I can't perform this service for you because Saul had cast out, he'd kill all the people that had done this, cast them out of the land. I believe that she suspected right off the bat that this could have been a sting operation, and they believe the same thing, and they believe that she suspected from the very beginning that this visitor was Saul himself the whole time. And they believe that when he asked for Samuel, that her suspicions were confirmed. Said, this is Saul, because he's asking for Samuel. They also say that she made all of this up as a means of getting back at Saul for trying to deceive her. Now think about that for a second. I would say that would seem dangerous if you were to ask me. Why? I'm certain this lady knew just how unpredictable Saul was. So she's going to play games with a man that can have her put to death and try and trick him. I don't believe that was the case here. I don't believe that she was trying to make all this up to deliver a sentence to Saul to get back at him for what he had done to her profession. There's no doubt she knew how unpredictable Saul was. And if he did not like what she was telling him, there's no doubt she knew that he could have her killed immediately, even though he just told her nothing would happen to her. Do y'all think Saul was the type of person that could change his mind pretty quick? We see that with David. It happened on a regular basis. More than likely, as we said, all these reports, all these events that had taken place with David spread throughout all the regions of this land, and even a witch at Endor would know that these things had taken place. Some scholars believe and teach that what this woman saw was a demon. A demon that had transformed himself into looking like Samuel. But the biggest problem I find with that is the fact that our Bible says she saw who? Samuel. It does not say she saw a demon that represented himself as Samuel. And we understand that all Scripture is what? God-breathed. That it's inspired by God. In the writer of this book says this woman saw Samuel. So that's what we have to go by. From what I understand, this teaching about the demon did not show up in church history until the 15th or 16th century. And before that time, all that studied the Scriptures understood this to be none other, this apparition or this spirit that came forth to be none other than the prophet Samuel. Notice that our text says the lady cried out with a loud voice. Now, as we go through this, my hope is that we can look at these things and we can try and figure out what's going on here. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think this lady screamed or cried out is what the scripture... Actually, if you look the word up, it means to shriek. Why do you think this lady shrieked or screamed when she saw Samuel? Some think it was that when she saw Samuel that she immediately realized that she had been deceived by Saul. And therefore she shrieked with fear because she thought she would lose her life. Now if we keep reading, we will come to find that this lady did not know for sure who this was that showed up. Did she? We're going to find that out, huh? Look, I can't get ahead of myself. I got to be careful because we got to go through these verses. But she didn't know who it was. She starts describing this person that she saw that Saul did not see. She starts describing him to Saul, and Saul perceived that it was Samuel. She didn't know who it was. Also, our text says that she cried out when she saw Samuel, not when she realized that her customer was actually Saul. So we gotta balance these things out. I personally believe that this lady cried out because she was shocked by the fact that someone actually showed up from the dead. I believe all her past ventures, personally, all that had taken place before, like I said, was based upon deception. And she would use the circumstances that were around her. Now look, I'm not saying I don't believe in demons. Because that's not what I'm saying here. I know without a doubt we have accounts in the Scriptures where demonic activity is real. We looked at last week where Christ went and preached to those that were in prison. Who did he go preach to? He went and preached to those that were bound up. We looked at that. We looked at that word preach, that it was a heralding forth of victory. He wasn't preaching the gospel. He wasn't going to preach in those that were bound up that they might get saved, but he was going to proclaim victory over death and victory over the grave. I personally believe that this lady cried out because she wasn't used to people showing up when she conjured up the dead. And as I said in our last lesson, I think this type of service that she was providing, as we said a while ago, was based upon deception. And more than likely in the past when she did her hocus pocus, nothing ever really happened. And now all of a sudden she really saw something and it caught her off guard and she let out a scream. Why? Because she was not prepared to see what she saw. Notice that after she saw Samuel and after she cried out with a loud voice, that she then spoke to Saul and said to him, "Why have you deceived me? For I know that you are Saul." Let me ask you another question. And you can ask my wife, this one's been kind of bugging me. How did this woman all of a sudden recognize that the person she was dealing with here was actually Saul? Now, I thought about that. I've been looking. I've been digging. I'm telling you, I read so many commentaries looking to try and find if someone had a corner on this, and I really couldn't find anything. Some answer this by saying that she knew it was Saul because he was closely associated with Samuel. But I have trouble with that because, like I said earlier, she didn't recognize the one who appeared as being Samuel, did she? And if it was the fact that she put two and two together, then why did she not know this was Saul when he asked her to call up Samuel before Samuel actually appeared to her? Why didn't she figure this out and bow out then and say, "Oh, excuse me, I got to run to the bathroom and dig out"? Because she was fearful of what? I mean, let's just be practical. She was fearful of her life. And if all of a sudden she would have said, "Samuel, Saul, he wants me to call up. Let me go check on, I got something in the oven," and dig out. To be honest, you know, we're not told exactly how she come to realize that it was Saul. My best guess would be that she would be found in something that she heard Samuel say as he comes forth. Because we're going to find out in our text that Samuel directly addresses Saul how? By name. So we don't know how she found out. We'll come find out in the narrative that there's several different times that Samuel addresses Saul by name. It could possibly be that this lady, as she saw this apparition of Samuel, that he spoke Saul's name and the lady realized what was taking place. We don't know everything here. Now what we must understand is the fact that these are, as I've said and I will continue to say, some very difficult passages. And if we study these verses, we will come to find that there are many different views as to what actually has taken place here. One thing is for certain though. Like I said, there's some things we don't know what happened. But one thing is for certain, and I cannot be dogmatic on any of these things, because of the fact that, to be honest with you, I don't fully understand all this. I mean, we're talking about what? Supernatural events that are taking place here. Right? Do I understand all the things of God and what is going on? The Bible says that we wrestle not with what? Flesh and blood. I'm reminded of the Old Testament example where one did not, and I can't even remember where this is at. It just come to my mind. We were actually talking about it last week, but one of the servants didn't realize what was going on. The other one prayed, God opened up his eyes, and he saw things that he didn't even know was around him, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. One thing I do know for sure is that we should not get hung up on the things that we cannot explain. And you say, why not? Because I say there's enough here for us to see that when we do not operate, what is the whole gist of this that's taking place here? What's going on? Is it who came forth? How did he come forth? By what power did he come forth? Or was it the fact that Saul was not operating the way that God had prescribed him to operate? What's the bigger picture here? What's the bigger deal here? When we operate, now, we've heard people say this, you need to get a word from who? From God. Where do we get a word from God from? from His Word. Now, we've been taught that. But if we start deviating from that, and we start trying to operate in a realm that is not prescribed by God, then what we will find is when we work an alternative, when we take an alternative route, you know where it always leads us to? Death and destruction. Turn right quick to Romans chapter 1. Now, Saul knew. He knew all the methods. He knew the prescription. As we said last week, Saul had been taught. Saul was a Jew. He had been taught from a boy all the ways of God, and he knew here that he was on a precipice of a great battle, and he knew he had been cut off. So what's he trying to do? That's the whole gist of the story. Not necessarily where did this apparition come from, but what he tried to do is he tried to go about getting a word from God in a means that was contrary to God. Wow, God had cut him off. God had not spoken. Look at Romans chapter 1. We're very familiar with these passages. Starting in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Let me ask you this. Had God showed Samuel how he was supposed to act and what he was supposed to do? I mean, Saul, what he was supposed to do? Through the prophet Samuel. In the early days of his ministry. And if we have enough time tonight, we'll get there. We'll find out that Samuel knew how to respond. He knew what to do. But Saul did not, and I may have said Samuel a while ago, I get them mixed up, the S's here. But the thing is we got to understand that he knew what to do. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Let me ask you this. Did Saul have an excuse to go here and do? Look, he said God didn't answer by dreams, by Urim and Thummim, or by the prophet. That was the means by which God prescribed. God had done what? Cut him off. So what's he do? He decides to take matters in his own hands. He comes here looking for a word. We looked at the contradiction that was found in the Old Testament, how that these things played out. He did it his own way. And he was without excuse. 21 of Romans 1. I know this is the New Testament, but this is the New Testament of pretty much the same example. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Would you say this would apply to Saul here? Was he vain in his imagination? What was he doing? He was trying to make an attempt to find a word from God. At least he thought he was, but he was going about it in his own way. And his foolish heart was what darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Folks, we got to be careful. Why? Because we can find ourselves in this same situation here. Some of y'all that sit here under preaching day in and day out and are unregenerate, if you don't deal with the way that God is dealing with you in the right way, we see, then we're going to find out. Look, I'm going to just keep reading. They profess themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is a bad place to be. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to what? Vile affections. What is vile affections? That's longing for those things which are forbidden. What was Saul doing? Where was he at? What did he resort to? He went to that which he what? At one time had cast out. that at one time was forbidden, yet he goes to this forbidden thing looking for so-called, supposedly he went to go look for a word from God. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was fit for me. That's a bad place to be, is it not? Where did that come from? Not responding, not operating in the way that God was pleased. In other words, rejecting the word that God had given them. And we're going to get to that if we have time tonight. That's what Saul had done. You know what Saul had done? He rejected the word of God. He rejected the prescribed plan of God. And even when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to what? A reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to their parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but notice this at the very bottom, but also those that have pleasure in them that do them. Here in our text, it may be difficult to explain how all these things took place. To be honest, my best guess, and I say that it is a guess because I don't know for sure, but my best guess is that God supernaturally allowed these things to happen as a means to speaking a final word of judgment to Saul through the prophet Samuel. How? Why? It wasn't because this lady. We got to understand that. Y'all realize that? It wasn't because this lady had the power. It was because God saw fit to send a final word of judgment. Brother Jimmy was mentioning it. This was the last word that he received. I firmly believe without a doubt that they were on the threshold of this battle, that the next day all this that came was said, this prophecy came about, and this was it. Like he said, it could have been his last meal. He didn't even eat here. Couldn't. Why? This news was so troubling. Even though some of this is hard to explain, what I can say for sure is this, that I thank God I don't have to depend on a prophet. I thank God for the prophet Samuel. When we were studying this, we looked at him and how that he created these schools and kind of revived the nation of Israel. But I thank God I don't have to bank on a man named Samuel. Neither do I have to go to one who claims to be able to call up the dead in order to give me a word from God. I thank God that I have, and I'm making this personal because I do thank the Lord. I'm trying to give testimony here that I have all I need in order to know what it is that God would have me to do. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us that God at sundry times and in different ways and in divers manners spake in times past unto the Father's house. By the prophets. That was the means that God used. He would use a man to speak to men. He would have these prophets go forth and say, "Thus saith the Lord." But Hebrews doesn't stop there. It says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by who? By His Son. Whom He hath appointed heir of all things. By whom also He made the world, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had made Himself, by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than Him. the book of John tells us this, that in the beginning was what? Was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the Word was made flesh. Right? And the Word dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Apostle Peter tells us this. He's faithful to remind his readers that he and the other disciples have not what? Followed cunningly devised fables. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all remember what I said? I'm glad I don't have to bank on a man. I'm glad I don't have to go to a fairy tale book. I'm glad I don't have to go to somebody to conjure up a demon or a spirit or what a dead person, whatever it may be, in order to know what God would have me to do. The Apostle Peter says that we haven't followed cunningly devised fable when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said we were what? Eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, He said, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. But He didn't stop there. He says, we have also, what? A more sure word of prophecy. We have something even more sure than that. Whereunto you would do well that you take heed as lights, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake how as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, we have the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The closed canon. We have all that we need. We don't have to go look in other places. We don't have to try and go conjure up demons. We don't have to try and run down this or run down that. What we have is we have the complete Word of God. Look in verse 13 here. In verse 13. We see that Saul the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. Here we see where Saul tries to reach for this lady to not be afraid of him, as he's already promised to her. He would not harm her. And he asked her to tell him what it is that she saw. Notice that he does not ask her to tell him how she figured out all of these things, or how'd she figure out he was wearing the disguise. He wants to know what made her scream when she saw it. He wants to know what did you see? Remember, Saul was not there to trick this lady, was he? He wasn't. He wasn't conducting a sting operation here trying to rid Israel of witchcraft. What was his whole purpose? He was there to find out about this impending battle that was fixing to take place. So he tells her here, have no fear. Carry on with what you have seen. The implication here is that Saul has not and cannot, for some reason, see what this lady has seen. Y'all get that in the text? He didn't see what she... That's why he's asking her. Notice she says, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. The word God here. Any of y'all look that word up? That word actually is the word Elohim. Now, do we know what that word means? Initially, most of us should. We know that that means what? God. Or it can mean God. Word has several meanings here. It can refer to the one true God, but I don't believe that's the case here that we find in our text. This word can actually mean several different things. It is often associated with angels. But it can also mean a judge or judges. Here it appears to be plural, but some of these scholars I read behind say that it's actually singular here, and that it would be best to say that this lady saw a being that was a spirit, one that did not possess an earthly body. And that's what she's saying here when she said, "I saw God." We had that question last week, and I told you we would touch on this. In essence, she saw some grand supernatural appearance rising out of the ground, and we will come to find that it was in the form of a what? A man, is what she says. The reason they say the word God here, or gods, we see in our King James Bible, is singular, is found by Saul's response in the very next verse. He asked her, "What form is he?" Y'all get it? Do y'all realize there's rules of interpretation? When we interpret these things and when we study the scriptures and when we break down these words, there's educated men that study these things, that can take these words. And when we see here, we look at Saul. Look at Saul's response. Y'all get with me on this. He asked her, he said, "What form is he?" He didn't say, "What form is they?" He is what? Singular. In other words, Saul said, "What does he look like?" He didn't say, "What do they look like?" Which proved that what she saw was actually, this form was singular in its appearance. Look at verse 14. Close this up because I know we have some special things going on this evening. Verse 14 says, "And he said unto her, What form is he? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself." Here we see Saul asking his second question in regards to what this lady saw. And he says, "What did he look like?" You know what Saul wants? He wants a better description. He's trying to put two and two together. He wants to know exactly what is it that you saw. She replied by saying, "I saw what?" Did she say, "I saw three men"? Now I'm telling you, we're backing up to this word gods because there can be some confusion there. She said, "I saw an old man," singular, "come up from the earth." Now we know in a singular form that she's not talking about God himself, but a supernatural being come up from the earth, and she said he was covered with a mantle. Even though the indication here is that Saul did not see what this lady saw, here we see that he immediately, notice his response, he believed this to be who? He believed this to be Samuel. That great prophet. So in honor of the man of God, what does he do? Our text says that he falls to the ground. He bows himself before what he thought for sure was the appearance. Now, it says here that he perceived. You look that word up, it actually means to know. I think Saul was pretty positive who this was. Look at verse 15. And this is where we're going to stop. We are running out of time. He says, and Sam, notice what the writer of this book says. Y'all notice that? Does it say, and a demon that looked like Samuel said to Saul? It says what? And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, he said, "I am sore distressed. I'm in a bind. I'm desperate. Why? For the Philistines make war against me." Look at his testimony here. Look what he says. And God is what? He's departed from me. And God will not answer me anymore. neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Now, we may look at this narrative here, this story that we've been stuck with. Saul's in a desperate place. Is he not? He's in a bad place. Y'all realize he represents the nation of Israel? He is their king. He is their leader. And we see what he's doing here is totally contrary to the will of God. God has cut him off, turned him over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient. Look, was this convenient for him? Now, I'm using that word in a secular term. No, he had to go out of his way, cross the threshold of the enemy as they were camped out, disguise himself, and go totally against what God had prescribed for him to do in hopes of finding a word from God. Well, some may say, well, it worked. It worked for him. Samuel showed up. We may look at this narrative here and say to ourselves, man, I would never stoop to the level that Saul did here. How many of y'all can see yourselves doing this? Hopefully none of us. Some of y'all shaking y'all's heads pretty positively that I would never go to this low of extremes. And I hope that you're right. We may look at Saul and say, I don't see how anyone would be foolish enough to do what he did here and deal with someone who practiced sorceries. And hopefully that could never be laid to our charge as the children of God. But before we leave here tonight, let me ask you this. Have we ever deliberately disobeyed God's word? Deliberately. Let me ask you this way. Have we ever knew what we were supposed to do? In other words, we have clear instruction. No doubt. I said some of these passages have been difficult. We can get hung up. Man, we can battle it out. We can have discussion. We can argue about these things. But there's some things that we find in the Scripture that are clear. No doubt about it. We know that we are to do it or not to do it. Right? Point blank, black or white. Have we ever knew what it was that we were supposed to do, yet we chose not to do it anyway? On the other hand, has it we ever known that we were not supposed to do something? And we went ahead and did it? Paul said he wrestled with that, but I think in a different sense. If so, if we answer yes, then I'd have to say that we have put ourselves in a position that is just as dangerous as the setting we find here in our text. You say, how can you say that? How can we say that this is just as disobeying God is just... I'm glad you asked me that question. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Seeing that we're dealing with Saul here, and Samuel. I want us to chew on these few scriptures. And I hate to leave on a bad note, but I think we need to, sometimes we need our eyes opened. Y'all realize that? Why? Because we can't see our own sins. Look at verse 22. Now, I could read this whole context. We know the context. Saul had what? Clear instructions. To destroy everything. But he didn't. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Listen to what he says. This is some stout stuff right here. He says, behold, to obey is better than what? And to hearken, to listen, to do, is better than what? Bat around. Let me ask you this question. Does God expect us to obey? Does He demand us to obey His command? Look at verse 23. For rebellion, that is to what? What did I say a while ago? deliberately disobey is what? It's rebellion. Rebellion is what? Just as bad as the sin that Saul was committing here at the end of this lesson. Was it not? Now, I asked us the question earlier, how many of us could see ourselves doing this? Most of us said, no way. But when we look at it in the light of God's Word, and we've all admitted that we've willfully disobeyed God's Word, how many of us can see ourselves in that? If we're willing to disobey, we would find ourselves here in a matter of seconds. Saul didn't start off this way. But, you know, this was gradual. There was a slippery slope. One disobedient act turned into another disobedient act. One lie had to cover another lie. And before you know, he's down this slippery slope. And the next thing you know, where's he at? He's at the witch in Endor's house trying to get a word to find out what's going to happen in the battle. He said, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Ooh. Is as iniquity and idolatry. Notice what he says here. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected thee from being king. That's dangerous. I want us to think about this. You know what we need? We need grace. We need mercy. We need help. I say we, I'm talking about me. I need God to grant me the grace to willfully obey Him continually. Why? Because it's in my nature to deviate. It's in my nature to take an alternative route. It's in my nature to want those things that are forbidden to me. There's fightings within. And what I have to do is I have to what? Crucify my flesh. Because if I don't, you know where I can find myself? Where did the evil spirit that Saul had, where did it come from? It came from the Lord. That's scary, if you ask me. Now, I'm thankful for grace. But you know what I don't want to be? I don't want to try and take advantage of that grace. I want to be aware that my God is a jealous God. And the Scriptures say that He does what? He chastens those. We're going to have to, as we finish this study, as far as dealing with Saul's life, Saul's fixing to be off the scene. Y'all realize that? He's not going to last much longer. We're going to have to put some pieces together. And I know this is tough to find out, hey, was this man really saved or was he not? Now, we see some indications, possibly, that he was. But we also see a many indications that say that he wasn't. You know what I want to be said of my life? I don't want there to be any doubts in my life. We see David. Now, we can call up sin on David. But we see a man that is genuine in repentance. And when we mess up, the Bible says that our God is faithful and just. So how do we want to be remembered? As one going to a witch, seeking a word? One being disobedient as the sin of witchcraft? Or do we want to be one as seen as being upright and pressing for the prize of the mark of the higher calling of God? You know what we need? We need grace. We need mercy. It'd be easy for us to look at Saul and say, man, this dude was crazy. I'll never do that. We don't know what we would do if God took His hand off of us. You know, everything that we are, everything that we will be, hinges upon the grace of God. If God was to remove His hand from us, you know where we could end up? In a bind. Let's pray. Father, we do love You. We do praise You. We thank You for grace and mercy. We just ask You to help us. Forgive us where we fail You. In Christ's holy name, amen.